2%.
The 2%'s right over here.
Oh, hey, Jenna. I didn't know you shopped here.
Yeah. Anything to support local food. Know what I mean?
I definitely do. Though that's not the only thing you do in the name of Good Eats, obviously.
Well, true. I also host Eating Matters every Wednesday at 5 p.m., where we talk about food policy and how it impacts all of us. Be sure to tune in.
All right, gotta get the plug in there. I get it.
Yep, I'm hashtag shameless.
You know what else you can do to support the local food community, right?
Well, yeah. Make a donation to Heritage Radio Network, the world's pioneer food radio station.
That's right. And I gotta call you out on the whole local thing.
What do you mean?
Well, The Farm Report, A Taste of the Past, Japan Eats. Those are shows that take you around the country and the world.
I'll give you that. So how can listeners give their support?
It's pretty easy. Just go to heritageradionetwork.org and click on the big red heart in the top right corner. It's pretty easy from there.
Thanks.
Today's program is brought to you by Heritage Foods USA, the nation's largest distributor of heritage breed pigs and turkeys. For more information, visit heritagefoodsusa.com.
Hello, everybody. This is Jerobi from A Tribe Called Quest / Eats Rhymes in Life, and you're here listening to Heritage Radio Network.
This is Cynthia Cherish Malloran, Reverend DJ Cherish the Love, and you are listening to Primary Food on Heritage Radio Network. So before I forget, let me tell you how to reach out to me and get my attention on social media, Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook at DJ Cherish the Love. That is love spelled L-U-V, and hashtag using Primary Food, Heritage_radio. And or hashtag RevLove. So welcome to the 22nd episode of Primary Food. I'm almost done with the second season. My goodness, soon to start the third season where I'm going to shake things up a lot. When that's a lot of episodes of me talking about the things that nourish us, which I love. So what exactly is primary food? I learned this really great concept in nutrition school at IIN, the Institute for Integrative Nutrition, that the food you eat, you know, the stuff we put in our mouths and chew and enjoy, we consider that secondary food. Primary food is everything else in life that nourishes us before we sit down and eat, and that's stuff like enjoying music, reading a book, hanging out with friends, cooking food, a great job, creative expression, playing games, exercise. And I am so glad I learned this because it was the high quality primary food that I kept in my life while going through chemotherapy last year that kept me happy and healing my cancer. So you can call in live, listeners, and the number is 718-497-2128. Again, the number is 718-497-2128. And you know what? While you're listening, become a member of Heritage Radio Network and you'll get some cool gifts and great karma because Primary Food is produced by Heritage Radio Network, a nonprofit, member-supported radio station devoted to all things food. So please help keep Heritage Radio Network alive by becoming a member today. You'll get a pair of koozies and more. Go to heritageradionetwork.org and click on the beating heart to donate. Do it now. Do it at the end of the show. Just do it. And, you know, I'll love you forever. You will be helping me stay happy and keeping myself cancer-free. And that's really awesome. So this season, I've been focusing so much on creativity. And I'm really all about this food and music pairing thing, especially since reading 32 Yolks by Chef Eric Ripert. I learned so much from this book, actually. So look for that episode, Chef's Story Live, on Heritage Radio Network, hosted by Dorothy Cann Hamilton at the International Culinary Center. Eric Ripert, right now, you're my creative superhero, and you have been really opening my brain, I've been thinking about the similarities of preparing food and creating art and music. And that's why I have my two special guests today. Musician, songwriter, Joni Leeds, hello.
Hello.
From New York City, and artist from LA, Roitash Rao.
How are you?
Hey, hey. So we're going to talk about today food and how food has inspired and informed our creativity. Roitash, you worked on a project called Beer for Art.
Art for Beer.
Art for Beer.
Art for Beer.
Yeah. It's really different if it's the other way around, isn't it?
Well, I mean, I guess it's the same goal, which is basically I was giving away art for a beer. And I guess if they were giving me beer for an art, it would be the exact same thing. But I started to make paintings on fast food cups and random trash I found in the street. And I was trying to get my stuff out there. And I felt really weird just asking my friends to give me money for this thing I made. So I felt like it was a kind of an easy way to get them to give me money by just having them give me beer. And they did. And we would meet at bars, and I would bring a cigar box full of trash cups, and we would sit there, and they would buy me beer. And then after like the seventh beer, they're like, "Woo, you've had one too many of those beers. Let me give you some money now for that art." And I'm like, "Wow, okay, great." So, you know, I got both things in a way out of that. I got my art career started with a bit of cash, and I got drunk often.
Beer as currency. I don't know. That makes perfect sense to me. And you were collecting food trash off the streets. Tell me about that, because actually, where should we look for your artwork online? Pieces, so funny.
You can go, the best thing to do is just go to my site, Roitash Rao, paintsontrash.com.
And, spell Roitash for us.
Roitashrao, Roitash Rao, paintsontrash.com. And that's basically where I put all my stuff. And I started out just, you know, walking the streets and just finding whatever I could find. And, you know, not any surprise, there's a lot of trash, fast food cups and you know, cigarette boxes and those small little things that we just kind of, you overlook that they're everywhere. And it doesn't matter what city you're in. I was in New York for a long time, and now I live in LA, and, you know, both of those major cities have a lot of this stuff obviously lying around. So I would just pick it up, take it home, put a random kind of style of my, you know, kind of face illustrations on it. And usually I had some commentary about our culture, and a lot of what became now my art is about our overconsumption. So I talk about the amount of things that we buy and use and then in a way throw away, and I paint on those things about the things that we overuse and consume. And it kind of became this very good topic to put out there, because it's like talking, you know, I talk trash on trash. So I think it fits, and it just became, you know, especially the more in both cities where they're really trying to clean up a lot of their, you know, the neighborhoods. And I live near Venice, so the beaches, of course, are, they have a huge push to make the beaches clean and all that. So I'm just putting, you know, in a way, I'm taking it off the street, putting something on it, and then putting it on a wall, and just kind of putting a mirror up to us and going, look at how we live, and this is how we are, and isn't this crazy and ridiculous? And but yet, you know, it's I don't think it's going anywhere. It's not fixing itself anytime soon, but I think that at least we're talking about it, hopefully.
Food trash is your canvas right now. I think that's incredible. It's a little bit tragic. And I'm not saying, hey, people who are eating fast food, throw it on the ground because Roitash will pick it up. But I'm kind of glad you're picking it up and metabolizing it into something thoughtful and really freaking funny. So where are your pieces hanging right now in New York City?
I have a show. Currently, I'm in a solo show in Red Hook in Brooklyn at a place called Kustera Projects. It's Kustera Projects in Red Hook. And what's great about this place is that they're Red Hook, which I didn't know, but really before, is a really cool little neighborhood, and they have a lot of great galleries and a really good art scene down there. And what's great about that is that you've got all walks of life. I mean, there's some celebrities who live there, and there's people who live, you know, in the kind of housing projects around there. And so you've kind of got everybody walking around this neighborhood. And I think they equally come in, and they can all relate to the stuff, because it's again, the stuff that we see on the street every day. And they're like, did you just find that, like, down the road at the chicken place? And I go, yeah, that's exactly where I got that. And they're like, I walk by that every day. And you picked it up and you made something out of it. And that's, you know, and it's cool. So I think that, you know, and it's also very local. Like, I try to do a lot of things in the town that I'm in. So I purposely came to New York early just so I can find stuff on the streets of Red Hook to paint on them and put them up on the wall.
What is your process? So if you find a Wendy's cup, where do you get the funny dialogue from?
That's a good example.
These pieces are very funny, by the way.
Thank you. I have one example to answer that, which is, like, I found a great Carl's Jr. cup. And you know Carl's Jr.?
Yeah, sure.
So Carl's Jr. has the star. You know, it's like this kind of iconic, you know, yellow star on it. Uh-huh. And so for whatever reason, I thought it'd be really funny to do something with that star as, like, the main, you know, kind of subject of the piece. And I started to paint, like, these, like, kind of like 70s, almost porn stars on the cup, because it just felt right. It just, of that era, like this giant star, as if they were on a stage, or if they were, you know, at a disco, and it just kind of felt right. And so the flavor of that drawing fit the iconic nature of that cup. And I think that goes along, you know, kind of everything I do, you know. And it's funny how people relate to the iconography of fast food cups and cigarette boxes, especially, because you see them and they're so recognizable. You can just see the corner of the McDonald's M, or the corner of Marlboro cigarette M, and it so identifies with you as, like, part of our culture. And then, but you're cutting it off in a way where, like, you're adding now another layer, which is a face or a saying in my case. And
we're successfully brainwashed.
And it's, you know, it's kind of what Warhol was doing way back when too. It's very just pop culture. You know, it's pop culture on top of pop culture. It's the way we live on the things, again, that we throw away. So there's this weird connection that you have with it.
So you go by, basically, you know, you look at the piece itself and let it speak to you in a way, and then you...
And, I mean, in a kind of disgusting way, like, usually there's, because it is found on the street, there's, like, some layer of dirt or stain or something on it.
How much Purell do you buy?
You know, the worst, that's a lot. I wash my hands all the time.
Because mouths are on this. Yeah, this is food stuff, my friend.
The weirdest thing is that my friends pick up trash now and bring it to me, and they're like, you have no idea. This is covered in ants, and I pick this up and I put it in an envelope, and they'll just bring it over. And I'm like, don't do that. Don't just pick up ants covered trash. That's unhealthy. And I don't want you to get sick because of this art thing. Don't do it. So,
but it's for art.
So now I often have a bucket of water wherever I'm at, you know, in my studio. Whenever I find things, I just throw everything in this bucket, just so at least it rinses away. And then, you know, depending on how bad it is, I'll wear gloves, and I don't want to, you know, touch it too much. And then what happens is you forget, like, I'll forget because it is a found thing, a found piece of trash. And I'm working on it and working on it and working on it. And then, like, your hands are all dirty. And then, like, you know, you're like, wait, this is disgusting. What am I doing? And, you know, God forbid, like, you touched, like, your eye or something while you were working. And so I have to really remind myself of, this was found in the gutter a block away, you know, after a rainstorm.
Oh my God, your bacterial resistance must be super high.
I have to really make it an effort to just keep myself clean every time I work.
I mean, you've picked up pieces from paper trash to bottles, whiskey bottles and things like that. You have a great vase in the show right now. Tell us what that vase says.
The vase says...
What kind of vase is it?
Vase is actually a really powerful word for what I'm about to say. It's an old Jack Daniels bottle that I found. I think I actually drank out. I think that one I drank out of. So it was an old bottle that I had lying around. And it's painted. The words are painted. I found this in the trash, and now it's a motherfucking vase. And I have a whole line, as you can imagine, of vases.
I was being fancy. Vases.
Of bottles that I found. And, you know, again, I live in Venice, and, like, there's usually, every Friday in the summer, they have a thing called, like, I think it's like Summer Fridays or Friday, whatever it is, and they have like a big block, you know, like food trucks all over town, and they have all these, and they kind of shut down streets for people to be able to walk around and, you know, eat and drink and all that. So after that, it's like, for me, it's like an art store closing day. It's like canvases everywhere, and I just go around and I find the most random things in bottles, especially. Because people are drinking in the streets and leaving stuff around. So I have a whole series of those. I found this in the trash, and now it's a motherfucking vase. And I really want to just do a line of that. So at some point, maybe I should just have a website with that and just sell a bunch of these, like, found bottles with that type on it.
It's really simple, and I was at the gallery, people walking in and laughing behind me as they're reading. You got to really look, you know, read into the copy. It's so funny, so simple, so great. It reminds me of a line in 32 Yolks. Eric Repair had talked about how sometimes very simple dishes are the most difficult. But in your case, I guess, you're having fun with the simplicity.
I come from advertising, and, you know, my job for a long time was to write a tagline, write a slogan to sum up that brand in a really simple way. So I think a lot of that, my copy skills come from that very place. So how do you hone the simplest set of words to say something that hopefully has some thought, some insight, and hopefully some humor. And that's where a lot of my, I think, stuff comes from.
Well, I'm going to put you on the spot. All right, I'm selling a banana. Give me some coffee.
Is it a special kind of banana from a special place, or just...
It's just a yellow banana.
Just, is it organic?
Yes, it's so organic.
Go yellow, be healthy.
That works.
Go, that's horrible. That's the worst that I've ever written. There's something funny about yellow.
Go. Was that a buzzer?
That was the buzzer.
I think that's it. I think my career's over. That's what that was. That was the career has ended buzzer.
Down the hatch you go.
Down the hatch you go. David in the engineering booth rejected that one. You'll get another chance for I'll let you ruminate on it. You will think about that. Well, we will go to a quick break, and then we're going to talk about some music.
And this one is called Third Degree Rug Burns by Tackstar. We'll be right back.
Hello out there, it's Steve Jenkins. I'm with Fairway Markets. White Leghorn, Red Wattle, Bourbon Red, Navajo Churro. Well, these aren't names you're likely to hear at a Fairway butcher counter or any other counter today, but before the rise of factory farming, you would have. And at Heritage Foods USA, you still do. Heritage Foods USA exists to promote genetic diversity, small family farms, and a fully traceable food supply. You see, we believe the best way to help a family farmer is to buy from them. And Heritage Foods is honored to represent a network of family farmers and artisanal producers whose work presents an immeasurable gift to our food system and to biodiversity. The meat we celebrate, whether it's heritage turkey, Japanese steaks, Berkshire pork, or Navajo churro lamb chops, is the righteous kind from healthy animals of sound genetics that have been treated humanely and allowed to pursue their natural instincts. It's a simple fact. Animals raised according to this philosophy taste better. And as we like to say, you have to eat them to save them. Visit us at heritagefoodsusa.com for more information.
This is DJ Cherish the Love, and you're listening to Primary Food, and I've got a track for you. It's called Nutritious.
Joni leaves vegetables. Need I say more?
Very nutritious in the shopping cart. Very
nutritious. Props for eating smart. Do not be a baby when picking out your food. Eat your fruits and veggies. Don't give no attitude. If you eat the things that come from the land, you'll grow stronger. Good nutrition's everywhere. Get fresh fruit from the farm. Whatever is in season, it won't do you no harm. Keep away from sugar, candy and ice cream. Well, sure they've got some flavor, but best to eat them greens. When you eat the things, don't come in a box or can, you grow stronger. Good nutrition's everywhere. Yeah.
Get the fruits. Don't forget the fruits. Yeah, eat them up.
That was very nutritious, really nutritious. Joni Leeds in the studio with us today. So obviously, food is informing your creativity.
Yes, it is. I write music for families and geared towards children. And so usually they give me all sorts of requests for topics when I write music for kids. Uh-huh. Everything you can imagine under the sun. As you know, kids are very creative and they don't hold back. So
food must be a popular topic.
Food is definitely a popular topic. And along the years, you know, I have 7 albums out, and I would say food is pretty much the conquering topic, more or less so. Yeah.
Food is universal. So what did Stevie Wonder think of this track?
Well, it's not like I spoke with him, but I did speak with his people, and they were very, very sweet, letting me use the melody. It's the licensing is like a parody, and they were just like, just take it. I was like, great.
Wow, that's my favorite Stevie Wonder track of all time. So
that's,
I love
just
that
amazing.
It's a good one.
Just take it. Just do something nutritious with it.
Yeah.
Tell us about your other songs, food-based.
Food-based songs. Generally, I think we are pretty healthy in our house, but I do have a song called Ice Cream, and I shot a music video for that, which all of my videos are on YouTube, but this one I shot at my favorite ice cream parlor in the area that I grew up, which is in Miami, Florida, and it's this ice cream place called Whip and Dip. And any Miami folks from the area probably know of Whip and Dip. I wrote a tune called the Tofurkey Song, which when I wrote it, it was because my brother, he was living in Vermont at the time, and he went vegetarian, or vegan, actually. when he did, I was like, well, what are you going to do on Thanksgiving? And that inspired the Tofurkey Song. I had no idea that there was a tofurkey company because I'm a carnivore, so I had no idea. It was brought to my attention, and then I approached Tofurkey, and they use it as their theme song now. So it's kind of funny.
Really?
Yeah. So if you call them or go on their website, you'll hear the Tofurkey Song. And
is so funny.
Yeah, it's really funny. John Waters somehow came across it and put it in his book and his audiobook. I mean, the guy is awesome.
Yeah,
so,
no big deal there.
Yeah,
no biggie.
I was so excited to hear that. so that's the Tofurkey Song, and an old tune of mine called Sushi, because I'm a big sushi fan, and it has like little hand motions and popcorn. And Food Fight is one of the newer ones, and that one is a lot of fun.
What is your process, Joni? Do you like eat a meal and you're like, I have a song? Or do you just like look in a menu and you're like, I have a song?
I think it's usually that I want to write a song about a particular thing, whether it's food or anything across the board. So I knew I wanted to write a song about popcorn, because when I think of popcorn, I think of the kernels and how they jump, and then I think of the kids and how they and the audience can jump, and so that kind of connects where the lyrics are going to go. So that's how the popcorn tune, and sushi, I think, is like such a cool thing. Again, my brother, as a young kid, he was obsessed with sushi, even like as a 6-year-old, 7-year-old. I didn't even know what it was at the time, so I thought, growing up in Miami, but especially in New York City, all of these sophisticated children are eating sushi at a young age. I thought that that would be a really cool thing.
I can't picture a little kid at like a sushi restaurant dipping some salmon.
No, they do. You should see, like, they have these special chopsticks that they make with rubber bands, and they give them out to the kids.
Oh my gosh, I am so not classy.
Food for thought.
So I need a rubber band for
food for thought.
Food for thought. Now I'm really hungry.
Yeah me too. And I'm looking at this food.
Yeah, right in front of us at Roberta's. There are a couple of people
so
eating a whole lot of pizza in front of us. Now I can't.
Caesar
I don't even
salad.
Remember what I was supposed to talk about.
Pizza.
Most awesome thing you guys have eaten recently.
Ooh.
Hmm.
That's a good question. Well, my daughter just celebrated her first birthday on Wednesday. We had the party this weekend, and so it was her very first taste of something not vegetables or
meat. Did she have a sushi cake?
No, we had a monkey cake, but it was made out of
monkeys.
All... No, monkeys. Oh my gosh, that would traumatize her to hear that. We had a monkey cake that was made out of all organic ingredients and like apples based and banana based. So that was really delicious. It was actually made by somebody right here in Brooklyn who I think lives in Bushwick, actually. I'll have to find out her website.
You were mentioning in one of the song, I think, about like how you probably should avoid sugar.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah, I got to do that. So the best thing I think I've eaten almost every night, or actually every day. I'm staying in this place in Park Slope, and there's a coffee place around the corner from me, and they have the best banana bread, chocolate chip banana bread.
That is my favorite.
And I cannot stop eating this every morning. And I go in there, and I'm only here for another week, and I'm thinking, oh, well, you're not going to ever get this again. Like, as if in LA you can get it. But for me, like, you'll never get this again. You better soak this up while you have it.
You have to tell yourself
and
that.
And they make it fresh. So, like, you know, sometimes I get there late, and it's gone.
Wait, so what is this place in Brooklyn?
It's called South Side and on Park Slope.
Holler.
All right.
And holler. Speaking of holla, I believe you have a song.
Yes.
About holla.
I do. I have a song called Holla Holla. It's from an album that we did of all Jewish music called Holla Holla. And it's about this magical bread that comes down from the heavens. desert manna.
Yeah. Okay, so we're on the sugar portion of this show. Nutritious was the anti-ice cream song. So we're going to play ice cream just to balance it.
Ice cream, ice cream. I want some of that ice cream. One scoop, two scoop, three scoop, four scoop, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 scoop. Ice cream, ice cream. I want some of that ice cream. If I don't get ice cream, I'll scream. Hurry, I need to get home quick before it melts. ice cream, I'll scream. I want ice cream.
Ah, I feel so much better now, fully negating the nutritious song.
In honor of summer. It's all about balance.
Yeah, exactly. I'm all about yin-yang and, you know, the ends of the spectrum. I feel better now. I felt kind of weak after the nutritious song. In honor of summer, that was exactly. Ice cream. Mm-hmm. Favorite flavor ice cream?
Anything coffee flavored, but I think when I grew up, it was Jamocha almond fudge.
Oh, that's Baskin-Robbins right there. I knew that. That woke me up just now. That. Joni, favorite ice cream?
Mint chocolate chip.
Oh, me too. Yeah, you know, I could do that. Favorite.
Have to.
Sometimes I like to go real simple and vanilla, but, you know.
Magic shell.
Magic shell. Yo, that's some creepy food. Actually.
It's really like space aging, that food.
Is that food?
I don't know, but I can't imagine vanilla ice cream without it. I don't know how to eat it without
I think
that.
I have to do a whole show on creepy foods.
Is that still around?
Creepy foods.
Do they still make
magic shell?
You don't know.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, so magic
really
shell
scary.
Is this like chocolate syrup that you pour on the ice cream and it turns...
Oh, the hard... It gets hard. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and then you eat it and it's like... Tastes sort of like chocolate and it's super oily in your mouth.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's not chocolate. You're right. It's plasticky chocolate. It's like a weird thing, but once you discover that drug of magic shell,
it's an emotional
how do you not
food.
Eat it.
It's an emotional food, you know. So vanilla for me, and maybe some magic shell and some sprinkles.
Egg, you want to go crazy? Put that over Jamocha almond fudge.
Whoa! Mind blown. I can imagine it's like that crunchiness is what the advertising. You know how like they try to make food.
It's too much. It's too much.
Yeah. It's like the banana bread. It has hard chocolate in it, and then it's soft banana.
Just
bread.
Talking about this is like making me shake.
Vegetables. Vegetables.
No, we're not going to play nutritious again. I refuse. But, you know, Eric Repair had told us in the audience that flavors do not exist. Oh. What? I was like, what? He said it's all in the mind. Because, you know, you can't physically touch the flavor of an inch or two of rosemary. That it's in your head. It's your palate. It's, like, totally subjective. Thoughts on that?
Like, one person may think rosemary tastes different than another person. I know that is the case with cilantro, because, like, everyone in my
family... Soap or metal or delicious, right?
Delicious. Delicious.
Wow,
cilantro for you, soap, metal, or delicious?
Delicious. But, I'm Indian, though, so it's all that, like, spicy... stuff that you have in
that's where I'm going Indian tonight food. 6th Street
I okay. love cilantro, but my mom and my grandmother can't stand it. It's my grandmother and my grandfather's 73rd wedding anniversary.
Yay,
today, by the way.
Happy anniversary.
Shout out to my cilantro hating grandma.
I love cilantro. I used to hate cilantro. It's very funny. After chemotherapy wrecked my tongue, basically, I can drink hot sauce and I can eat cilantro by the bunch.
But you didn't like it before?
Hated it.
That's so weird.
Like, hated it.
Wow.
Oh, and
it's,
hot.
It's not
I
the taste that worries me. It's what happens here after you eat it.
And he's rubbing his belly. What happens in your belly?
Well, just because if I drink hot sauce, let's just start there.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I feel like it's going to hurt.
It's acid or something
it's
like
acid.
That.
So you know. Good.
My tongue may not know, but.
The other half of your body will. Food is music. Music is food. Art is nourishing. Agree, right? So I look at food preparation, creation of music, creation of art. You know, I see common threads and put together my little formula. It's all passion, invention, creation, distribution, consumption, and enjoyment. Am I missing anything?
No, I think that's good. That covers
it. Got it covered.
I might have read that too fast. But, you know, I think that it's just so important for us to... You know, I talk to friends who are professional chefs, and their process isn't that different from your process, Joni, and your process, right? It's like you get these ingredients, you put it together for your enjoyment, and then serve it up for other people's enjoyment, and then hopefully make money. So let's talk about the business of what you guys do. It's like, what are the challenges of making art? Just like, the same challenges with assembling food and selling it and making it, and same with music.
Well, in my particular business, and I know you do stuff for kids too, but the kids age out. So they're your fans.
Like Menudo.
Get
a Menudo
exactly.
thing happening.
But there's always more kids.
That's true. There's always more kids, but it's definitely happening on a rotation. So you may be someone's favorite rock star for three amazingly good years, and then, you know, then they're on to whatever, Miley Cyrus or something.
Well, do you, we find this knowing, because I also have a writing partner and we do children's books, and a thing that we've learned recently is that you have to kind of aim for the age group just above the kid you're getting.
Definitely.
Right? So you have to write for the 13-year-old to get the 10-year-old or 9-year-old.
Right.
Because they want to act like their older brother or sister, and so you have to kind of like aim high for them to...
It's so true. Yeah.
Do you find that?
Yeah. I think, you know, my very first album that I put out was called City Kid, and that was back in 2008, and I think most of the songs on there are kind of like, you know, the clap your hands and stomp your feet type songs. And then as I started to get keen on this information, I started writing it for the older brothers and sisters, knowing that they'll grow into it. And also, you know, I think when I write music, I do think about, can this sell? Can this be a commercial? Can this work as like a spot somewhere? And so I honestly had no idea about the whole Tofurky thing, but it worked out really well, really well.
That worked out really exquisitely well actually.
Yeah, and I mean, I was thrilled about it, and I hope that there's more opportunities like that. But I do write from my heart, and I do write creatively, but I also have a business sense, and I always keep that in mind too. I mean, you have to if you're gonna be a musician as your job and make a living at it. You have to.
Now, it's really quite perfect that Joni has an acoustic guitar in her lap.
What? Where'd this come from?
It just materialized out of like nowhere. So I think we might as well put it to use. I think you might have a song inside of you to share with us, perhaps.
All right. Yes, this is called Food Fight. And can I use you guys on the song?
Please.
Yeah.
Okay. Please use me. I love being used.
So.
You want me to clap?
Well, there's a part that you guys
food?
Are going to. Well, that's up to Roberta's. Hello. Pizza. If you can, there's a part where you're just going to yell food fight. And you'll hear it. You'll know when it's coming.
I think we're going to hear David in the booth, too.
All right, David. Get ready.
My brother got in trouble at school, grounded for breaking his lunchtime rule. He said it's not his fault, it was some other fool who started it.
Yeah, right.
Claimed he was walking with his plastic tray when he tripped and his applesauce flew away. Riding Jimmy Walker, the biggest kid's head. With Jimmy shots at the sudden disruption, his eyes on my brother and then an eruption. Jimmy yelled, food fight, the craziest ever, food fight. You should have seen it, food fight, yeah. Cafeteria's worst fright. All right, hang tight, because it's a food fight. The messiest ever, food fight. You wouldn't believe it, food fight. Suspended for sure for this food fight. All right. Peas and carrots flying through the air. Tater tots and mustard getting in their hair. Chocolate milk and pudding going in every direction. Sloppy joes and mashed potatoes splattered around. Kids chucking fish sticks on the rebound. It was so insane, this can land them in a house of correction. The teacher shot at the sudden disorder, but they knew they couldn't stop it, so they watched from the corner. Cause it was a food fight, the nastiest ever food fight. You should have seen it,
food fight.
Lunchroom wrecked.
The cleanup crew spent 9 hours cleaning with the kids. We're going to start really slow.
Okay.
Really soft. Who started the food fight? The craziest ever food fight. You should have seen it. Food fight. The devil theory was right.
Food fight!
You wouldn't believe
we've got the entire world clapping right now, apparently.
All of the entire Roberto's is clapping right now.
Thank you.
Girl can sing.
That's awesome.
Hey, you know what? You're one of those awesome singers who sounds like better than the recording.
Oh, that's a really nice thing to say. Thank you.
Yeah, wow. How did that feel?
Oh, it was fun. I was enjoying watching everybody not having a food fight through the window.
I was hoping they were going to break out into a food fight.
I was wondering if they were able to hear, and they are just going about their business. So
one guy just flips like the guy is pizza over, and all of a sudden, mayhem.
Wow, so you know what? That was so nourishing for me. That felt great. You know, how does it feel for you guys to exercise your creativity? You know, how important is it?
Well, I was talking about this with my musician friends, and it's like, you know, like your art doesn't end when you're done, like because you perform it. So like, you know, like when I finish my painting, I'm done. I put it on a wall, and then I can have a drink and enjoy it. Whereas you have to go perform it, and you're still in your art. You know what I mean?
That's true.
And I think that's the main difference between musicians and pretty much any other art form, because you're performing it, or I guess an actor. But so I'm curious for you, when I'm done with a piece, like I've completely, like I'm mentally and physically done. I'm like, I don't, it's out of me, and I move on to the next thing. But you have to keep living it all the time. How do you do that?
Well, I think because I tour a lot, we're constantly in other cities. So what's new to one audience is, you know, some audiences keep on hearing the same songs, and then some it's brand new to them. So, you know, I just I rotate the songs out, and I love performing even the ones that I wrote way back when. I think that the good thing about kids is they love repeats. They love repetitiveness, so it doesn't really get old to them. Maybe the parents, but I don't know. I still play tons of songs from the first CD. And then there's some songs that I write that kind of are just for the album, because either they're slower or they're just like a really soft, sweet ballad that doesn't really translate live. So it's interesting. Like that Nutritious song, I rarely play that one live. And it was funny because I haven't actually heard it in a really long time.
Uh-huh.
But we play Ice Cream all the time because it's really interactive. Yeah. And I get the kids to melt and melt their faces off. Yeah,
That's a great question, because I had just gotten into the same conversation with a friend of mine who is a cook, right? And I said, what's it like to keep preparing the same thing over and over again? And she was like, you're feeding it to different people all the time.
That's
right?
So true.
And then I spoke to another friend who's a stand-up comedian and said, what's it like doing the same content all the time? Don't you feel... And he was like, it's always a different crowd, and it depends on how drunk they are and like how they receive it and what time and what city. And I saw this interview with Gloria Gaynor. I mean, for like 30-something, 40 years, she's singing I Will Survive. And she had said, it's different every time.
Wow. Yeah.
I don't believe that. And I'm like, I think I would probably go nuts, but that's me.
I think there's probably some musicians that get tired of singing their hit, but it's their hit. And that's, you know.
You should be so lucky to have
right.
that hit.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd play it all the time.
Yeah, if I had a hit that kept banking. Or a meal
every day
banking.
If you want. Yeah, no, it's true.
That is so wonderful. Thank you so much for playing. Where can people check out more of your music, your website, and so on?
So my website is Joanie Leeds, Joanie Leeds, LEEDS.com. I have a YouTube page, and we're all over Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and all that good stuff. We're actually heading to Colorado and Texas to play a bunch of dates, and back in New York after that in September.
Ah, that's so wonderful. And Rohitash, again, where can we find you online?
You can go to Rohitash Rao, paintsontrash.com, Rohitashrao, Instagram, Rohit, Rohit, 913. I post pretty much every day. So, you know, if the painting I post today sucks for you, I'm sorry. Tomorrow, it'll be better, hopefully.
I love that. And this was a really great show. Thank you so much, guys, for being here. And remember, Primary Food is produced by Heritage Radio Network, a nonprofit, member-supported radio station devoted to all things food. So help keep HRN alive by becoming a member today. Go to heritageradionetwork.org and click on the beating heart to donate. Do it right now. You've been listening to Primary Food. This is Cynthia Cherish Maller, and peace out.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was awesome.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.